Amen. Amen. Before I pray, I'm going to say the name of the message, title of the message this morning. It says, Ask Me Anything. Ask Me Anything. Dear Heavenly Father, we give all this to you. We give service to you, and we thank you for your word that you speak. You speak things to us that we would never know. You speak truth to us for us to rest in and to understand you. And so, Lord, I pray this morning that you would really speak to each individual heart. Your words and what you're saying would be transformative and just a new view of you or a more in-depth view of you and just the strength of standing with you and the overwhelming love you have for us. And so we give this service to you, and I pray you anoint me. I just speak words of the Spirit, nothing of the flesh. So we give this morning to you, and look for you to do a mighty work in the name of the Lord Jesus. All right, we're going to look at verse John 14:14. Seems like often I'm going, this is the verse you should put on your refrigerator. Well, this is the verse you also should put on your refrigerator. All right, John 14:14, and the flow of what Jesus is leaving his disciples with. And he says this, if you ask me anything in my name, I will do it. Now, the truth, this is the truth of being a Christian. This is a truth of believing in Jesus. Jesus is the one who said it. He said it. Now, please take note. Please take note. You know, it's not a commentary. No, Jesus said it. This is what he said. And so I have a question for us. Do we believe that Jesus paid the penalty for our sins and that we are forgiven and we have a home in heaven? Okay, if so, if you believe this, we are under the obligation to believe what Jesus is saying here. Can't pick and choose. You throw this verse out, you throw salvation out. He said them both. He did them both. He did them both. So this is what is going on here is powerful. Now, so one of the things you know I like to do is that we look at the context, okay? And then the context gives us a greater, fuller meaning of that. However, the context for this verse is even more challenging and more stunning. It's easier to believe without the context. It's like, you got to be kidding me. So let's just look, go back a couple of verses to get the context. Let's look at John 14:12. John 14:12. This is how he introduces this. He says, truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes in me will also do the works that I do, and greater works than these will he do, because I am going to the Father. Now, we need to note something here. Pay attention. Jesus says, whoever believes in me, that's us. We're the whoever, okay? Whoever believes in me, that's us. So we need to think about that. Jesus says, who is Jesus talking to? He's talking to us. He's talking to us. Now, looking at this verse, it's interesting. This one is introduced, is saying, truly, truly, I say to you. So that's how he introduced. Truly, truly, I say to you. Now the word truly, this was totally new information to me. The word truly means, the original word truly means it shall be so. It shall be so. Or, amen. Every place you say amen in the Bible, it's using this word. So he's saying, amen, amen. He's saying, it shall be so. It shall be so. You go, my goodness. So, Jesus is saying, whoever believes in me, this shall be so, this shall be so. Like he said it twice. Said it twice. Why would he say it twice? Because he wants us to hear what he just said. Whoever believes in me, this shall be so. This shall be so. No question. There's no question here whatsoever. Now, then he has to go ahead and add, not only is this so, whoever believes in me will do the works I do and also greater works than these he will do. Everybody with me? Yeah, how many say, we love reading our Bible because that's the only place you're going to find this. This is the only place you're going to find it. When I looked at this, I have preached kind of on this subject a few times. I've listened to different pastors preach on similar subjects this time. What I have done, and all the pastors I heard, okay, that preach on this, they right now, they would spend time and probably go into a 30-minute discourse of showing you all the places where this may not be so. And you know the answer may be no, or that, and just go on. Because the reason we do that, because we have a hard time believing it. I don't know how to put that on you, you know. Well, this, when I was preparing for this, the Lord put on my heart, he goes, just preach what I said. Well, that was novel. Just preach what I said. And it's like, all right. All right, so I want you to know I'm as convicted as you are. I am as convicted as you are. But it says what it says. It says what it says. Now, I'm going to make a little footnote here. This is not some foolish, and I mean foolish, name it and claim it, or it's not some foolishness like, we'll speak something into being. This is not what Jesus is talking about. In fact, anybody that, and I'm just, this is pastoral wellness, anybody that doesn't name it or claim it or speak it into being, that's witchcraft. That's calling up demons to do our will. Sometimes it happens. It's witchcraft. Don't do that. Don't do that. That's not what Jesus is saying here. The greater works come from listening, hearing, and embracing Jesus. That's where they come from. That's the source of it. And so as we think about this, okay, for this, we should have the same attitude that Jesus had. Okay, we have a picture of what's going on. We have Jesus. So we should have the same attitude he did. So if we go back to John 5, previously, we look at 5:30. John chapter 5, verse 30, we see his attitude. So he's already told them about his attitude already. So, you know, this is integrated in what he's saying. And John 5:30 says this, I can do nothing on my own. As I hear, I judge. And my judgment is just because I see not my own will, but the will of him who sent me. That's how I function. That's how you're to function. Now ask me anything, and I will do it, period. Wallace, stop. Don't add to what I just said. It's like, whoa. Now, Jesus doing anything. I love these words. Anything. Well, does he mean everything? Yeah. Jesus doing anything we ask, and even greater things than Jesus did. It's great. That's what he says. It is a little overwhelming. It is a little overwhelming, but that's what he said. That's what he said. So, the best way we can do, we're approaching something, the magnitude that we're, you know, probably having a hard time getting our arms around, we need to keep it really, really simple. It's kind of like Carlos said this morning. Jesus is real simple. It's simple to us when we read what he says. You know, like I said, I could double the size of this message by putting caveats of why Jesus can't do this. I need a lot of time to prove Jesus can't do this. But to read what Jesus said he would do, yeah, and take any time. He just said he did it, and you go, okay. Okay, so we want to keep it simple. Now, Matthew 22:37, it says we should love Jesus and one another with all our heart. There you go. And you know what the verse, what that follows that, after that? Love Jesus, you know, love God, each other with all your heart. You know what follows after that? And all the prophets hang on this. You want to do what Jesus says? Love me and love everybody, and you'll do it. You see, it's simple. It's really simple. So, when we look at this, he will do, when we love Jesus and love one another this much, he will do whatever we ask so that he will be glorified in the world. That's what he's telling us. You do this. Love me, love everybody. Ask whatever you will. I'll do it, and I'll be glorified in the world. So continuing the context, listen to this. John 14:13. Whatever you ask in my name, this I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. These words are killers. I mean, there are killers. Well, in the original, it says whatever. Anyway. See, whatever you ask in my name, this I will do. Well, sometimes no is an answer to prayer. It's not what it says here. And we make that up so we can get under the bar and explain our little lives. That's not what it says here. It's not what it said in the previous verse. And so when you look at this, it's quite amazing. Whatever, somebody want to give me a definition of whatever? Whatever looks something like anything. You know, it's like, so we have this picture here of the whatever, and then he says, and I'll probably do it, or I might say no. No, it says, this I will do. This I will do. That's what he's telling them. He says, you can ask me, and I'm going to pretend, and I'm going to give you a head fake, you know, and you think I'm going to do it, but I'm not. I'm just saying, this is what it says. Whatever you ask in my name, this I will do. That the Father may be glorified in the Son. He has a purpose. He said, no. And I know this is the hardest part to believe. You're my glory on earth to God and me. I go, really? Really? Yeah, that's what he's saying here. That's what he's saying here. So, when we look at this verse, it's saying, whatever you ask, this I will do. Period. Jesus is saying, please ask me something so that I may answer you and glorify the Father. And I think it's easy to read that. God is saying, please. Jesus is saying, please ask me something. Please ask me something so that I may answer you. See, oh, I pray and I don't know if God hears and I don't know if he can do it. Stop it. Stop it. Please ask me something so I may answer you and you glorify the Father. See, our requests are bigger than us. Now, so we have this, like, okay, that's the context. Now we get to the verse we started out with. John 14:14. If you ask anything in my name, I'll do it. You got it? 12:13. Great, you got it? Now, ask me anything, I'll do it. That's what he says. brothers and sisters, it says what it says. And if it is as clear and as absolute as our salvation is absolute. Well, I believe my salvation, well, I don't believe this. Then I question if you truly believe in your salvation. Well, that's different. No, it's not. He said both of them. He said both of them. And he doesn't give any caveats. There's no caveat. He doesn't do that. And you know, some people, well, this is hard to accept. But let's put it on. No, this is what Jesus said. This is what he meant. It's like, maybe we should step by and think, oh, my Lord God. This is what Jesus is telling me. He means this for me. He's just interested in my life and me. And he just asked me. Ask me something. Ask me something. So there we have it. Now, so we have that. We could think, wipe our brow and move on to something more, you know, easy to understand later, okay? Okay, let's do that. Let's jump ahead to John chapter 15, verses 7 and 8, because he says the very same thing again. He doesn't let up. He goes more, he says it again. He repeats it again. Well, let's see what he says. By the way, this is one conversation of Jesus with his disciples. Okay? This is appropriately after communion he is giving this. So appropriately, as Carlos gave communion, I read this because that's the context of the whole thing. That's the context of the whole thing. So let's read. He continues and he says in John 15, 7 through 8. It says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish. There's that crazy whatever again. Whatever. If you abide in me, my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. Well, maybe it's a no, and maybe that's his answer. That's not what it said. That's not what Jesus said. Whatever you wish, and it'll be done for you. By this, you asking, abiding in me, asking whatever you wish, and me doing it for you, by this, my Father is glorified. I want to glorify my Father. I want to glorify my Father. Ask me something. Ask me something, and I'll do it. Because I want to glorify my Father. That you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples. The asking, whatever, and him doing is proof that we're his disciples. Well, he doesn't answer my prayers. Don't say that out loud. You know, do you see this? Father is glorified. And he says that we bear much fruit. He wants us to be fruit bearers. Bear fruit. And by being fruit bearers, we will prove that we are Jesus' disciples. Disciples. Now, okay, so look at this. Jesus, in this section, Jesus adds a very interesting word, okay? And we shouldn't overlook this. He adds a very interesting word, and the word is abide. It's abide, okay? And abide means, I mean, you could look up the Webster Dictionary, but abide means we're living, listen to this, abide means we're living in the same realm that Jesus is living in. He walked on this earth, he's a little different, and we walk on this earth like he did. we walk in the same realm that Jesus walked in, all right? And we're excited about Jesus' words. See? Oh, I love Jesus and I never read the Bible. Now, they don't go together. I'm sorry. I love Jesus. The Bible is really hard. Amen. Better read it, though. Better read it. See? Because it's what God said. What if you're standing before God, you're on his throne, and he says something to you? He said, man, I don't have a clue what he said. I don't know what he means. I ain't listening to him no more. Well, no, I'm going to sit here before you until I figure this thing out, or until you give me some insight. But I'm not moving. You see what I'm saying? So he's given us incredible insight right here. When we look at it, abide means we live in the same realm that Jesus lived. We're excited about his words, and we have a conscious acceptance of his authority. Lord, I want you to show me. I want you to teach me because I want to do what you say. You are my authority. I want you to be my authority. That's abiding. That kind of goes back like, love me with all your heart. It's kind of the same thing. He's kind of saying the same thing. So we have this. So this word abiding is really the same thing is like loving Jesus with your own heart. Like I said, well, how do we do this? We're always looking a how-to, you know. And so Jesus is telling us right here, it's just a living in his realm, excited about his words, and a conscious acceptance of his authority. Loving Jesus with all our heart. Because we like spending time with Jesus, whatever we ask will be done for us. That's the way I say it. You're abiding because we like spending time with Jesus. It's whatever you ask will be done for you. I ain't abiding with Jesus. I'm not even on the same street with Jesus. You know, you're not even the same county with Jesus. You know, well, you know, it's when we ask something, who are we connecting with? Why would we ask it? What's working on in our mind? What's happening? Is it the flesh? Name it and claim it and speak it to do our own will? See? It can't happen unless Jesus is there, and it's up to us. He's there. He just wants us to dwell in his realm. Love him and love listening to his words. See what I'm saying? It's like, wow. Wow. So, we see. I just repeat this. Because we like spending time with Jesus, whatever we ask, it will be done. It will be done for us. But also, it says something else here. But also we see that he gives us whatever we ask because the Father is glorified when we bear much fruit. Oh, God be glorified. He goes, no, I want you to bear fruit. It comes from me, so God can be glorified. Holy, really? Really? I always like to pick on y'all's children. Little kids, you know, and you just take them to the store and just turn them loose so you may be glorified. They look at you, yep, I recognize who those kids are. Now, the whole idea is that because we spend time with him and that we bear fruit, God says, I want you to bear fruit because when you bear fruit, I'm glorified. And you're in the store, and you're coming, you're checking out, somebody walks up to you. Did you know this little boy came over to me, and I dropped something. He just picked it up, and I said, thank you. And he says, glad to help you, ma'am. You're saying, I'm glorified. I'm just glorified. That little type just glorified me, you know. He heard something I said. See, that's what Jesus says. I want you to bear fruit because I want to be glorified. See, so you see this what's working together here. So Jesus, the Father is glorified when we bear fruit. But then what it also adds here, but also it proves we are Jesus' disciples. Bearing fruit proves that we are Jesus' disciples. Jesus is saying. So you back up, ask, because I want to do it, so you'll bear fruit, glorify the Father, and everybody will see you're my disciples. That's what he's saying. That, I mean, this is what he's saying here. And you think, oh my goodness, proves that we are his disciples. Now, back to the word abide. I'll go back to the word abide. Abide means we're one with Christ. I mean, we're integrated. We're, you know, we have a relationship with Christ. That's what abide means. And we know that this abiding with Christ, we all know this is a continual growth process, right? You come to know Christ, and it's a continual growth process, a continual teaching. So we understand that is a process, a continual growth process. And again, it's like with our own children, timing and experience are important. Like, your 12-year-old wants to drive the car. We recognize they need to grow and gain a little experience before we happily turn them loose with the car. All right? Yes, we're so excited about when you drive, but you just need to grow a little bit. You need a little bit of experience. And then when you get to that point, I want to give you that car. So there's a growth process. It's just a naturally, you know, there's a growth process here. Likewise, while we are going through our growth process, Jesus is actually using the time to train us to be able to achieve our goals. I want to be CEO of XYZ Corporation. All right. We'll start you off in the mailroom. I don't like being in the mailroom. But you want to be the CEO. If I put you there now, oh my gosh, this is going to be awful for you. Everybody associated with you, it's going to be terrible. But I want to get you there, all right? I heard you, and I want to get you there. And by that's the way, there's our life. You look back, oh my God, Lord, thank you. And he molds us and he takes us to where we want to be. See, and that's where we have come into Isaiah 48:10. It says, behold, I have refined you, but not as silver. I have tried you in the furnace of affliction. Behold, I have refined you. You want this? I refined you. I'm going to take you there. I'm going to take you to where you need to be. You ask, I know how to get there, and I'm going to take you there. Waiting allows Jesus to do a great work in us, refining us. Refining us. Okay, I'm going to take you there, and you're going to be more than you ever thought you could be. But I heard you. I heard what you said. Everybody with me? You see? But it all comes back. Ask anything in my name. I'll do it. I'll do it. Okay, but like the 12-year-old with the car, okay, I'll do it, but we need a little maturity and a little bit going to some maybe driver's ed, but we'll get you there. But we'll get you there. I heard you, and I'm going to do it. I'm going to answer what you said. I'm going, whatever you ask me, whatever you ask me. Amen? Okay, again, that's a second message. We could quit there. We go, but Jesus doesn't quit there. I mean, he's like hung up on this or something. I mean, look what he does. Go to verse 16. He does the same thing. He says the same thing over again. Oh, he says it again. Look at John 15, 16. Chapter 15, verse 16. He goes, you did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit. Look, now that's important. It's because You're supposed to bear fruit. That's what you're supposed to do. It's, oh, I don't know if God did anything. I don't know if he'll help me. I don't know if he'll answer my prayer. Yeah, you're supposed to ask because you're supposed to bear fruit. Okay, we need to be on the same page. Say, no, I picked you and I point because you're supposed to bear fruit. That's the intention. And if we're not, I don't know, there's something going, you know, awry in the abiding or something, you know, but you're supposed to bear fruit. And that your fruit, you're supposed to bear fruit, and that your fruit should abide. Like it's going to be good fruit, lasting fruit. You're going to make an impact, and the impact's going to stick. That's what he's saying. Bear fruit, and your fruit should abide. So that, son of a God, son of a God. So that, what is the next word? Whatever. Whatever. Anything. What? Well, no, there's parameters, and there's a no, and all this stuff, and we try to, we do all these verses to help ourselves out. Okay. That's, we're trying to help ourselves out. Why, it's not working for us, you know, or we think it's not working. It's just Jesus doesn't do it. So then, you are to bear fruit. You are to bear fruit. So that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give it to you. Maybe. Could be a no. You know. You weren't that good anyway. Whatever we do to get there from here. See, it's just that Jesus doesn't say that. So that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give it to you. He wants us to bear fruit. And to bear fruit, we need to ask and he will give it. Period. Whatever you're thinking, whatever qualifications you're thinking, it's not biblical, and it's not what God is saying in this section. And it's inappropriate to be thinking about them in this section. You see, it says what it says. It says what it says. I'm just going to read it again. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit and that your fruit should abide, so that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give it to you. But you notice you have to ask. He's not give it to you. I'm waiting here. Whatever I might ask, I need you to ask. And when you ask, I'll give it to you. That's what he's saying. Now, Jesus wants us to bear fruit. Therefore, Jesus wants to give us what we ask. See, Jesus wants to give us what we ask. The proof of discipleship is fruit bearing. It's like, holy cow. Now, and this statement, and you read other statements and you think, wow, Jesus, like this statement, the fruit of discipleship is fruit bearing, the proof of discipleship is fruit bearing. The same, this coincides with the Gospels, in the Synoptic Gospels when Jesus is teaching. And he says in Matthew 7 verse 20 says this, you will recognize them by their fruits. You'll see my disciples and you'll know it. You'll recognize them by their fruits. Because I want them to bear fruit. I want them to ask. If they ask me, I'll get the fruit whatever they ask. Wallace, you shouldn't say whatever. And I promise you, I would never say whatever. It's just Jesus keeps repeating it. He says it over and over. I mean, I'm like reading this alone. Nobody's around me. And I'm like, God, you got to be kidding me. Is this really the word you want to use? He says, yeah, I'm going to use it 3 times. Go figure. Go figure. Go figure. And then remember how he opened this up. Truly, truly, it shall be. It shall be whoever believes. Okay, you're all in the same boat I am. Same boat. Same boat. It's a belief. And he's like, oh my goodness. Jesus is excited when we ask him anything and deeply desires to answer us. Can't we see that here? Can't we see this? Just forget everything. Forget everything. Just look at Jesus. Jesus alone. Nobody's in the room but Jesus. Jesus is excited when we ask him anything and deeply desires to answer us. That's the realm in which we're supposed to live. We live in. He appointed us to bear fruit. Okay? Now, how many of you say, well, I've been praying. I'm never saying anything to you. I'm just giving a testimony about myself when I bring these things. It's like, what's taking you so long? What is this so stinking long? What are you doing? You know, I don't understand. Why? You know, why didn't this happen now? You know, are you hearing what I say? Well, what the Bible tells us, he immediately hears us and immediately begins moving heaven and earth to provide the answer we ask. Y'all don't believe me. I'm going to read it again. I mean, this is amazing. He immediately, when we ask, whatever we ask, he immediately begins moving heaven and earth to provide the answer to what we asked. Look at this. Perfect example. There's actually several examples. But Daniel, look what happened. When Daniel prayed, we have a picture. Daniel 9:23. As soon as you began to pray. How soon? As soon as you began to pray. I almost see God. As soon as I began to pray, he goes, I know what he's going to say. We'll start on this before he finishes. See, as soon as he began to pray, the word went out, which I have come to tell you, for you are highly esteemed. Are you highly esteemed? Jesus paid the penalty for your sins on the cross so you would be the righteousness of God. You're highly esteemed by the cross. Highly esteemed. All the same. On the same bucket. All the same. See? As soon as you began to pray, the word went out, which I've come to tell you, for you are highly esteemed. Immediately. Now this is me. Okay. Take this with a grain of salt, but this is me. As soon as we, whatever we ask, and as soon as we begin to pray, he moves. He moves. But you know what? We are a lot of times, this is just me, that 12-year-old kid that wants to drive the car. Okay? He's all right, I'm moving. Right now, I am moving. You know, you need a little growth going on here, and you need some little drivers here, and I'm moving to make that happen. So as soon as we begin to pray, whatever we say, God moves down. All earth is under his hands. As soon as we begin to pray, he starts moving heaven and earth to put everything into place so that we can grow and be refined and end up in the place we need to be. And that takes him some time. That takes him some time. And in that time, we are refined to be at that place when he pulls everything together. You know, I said, well, what do you mean? I got to get so-and-so from this country and so-and-so from that country, and I got to work their lives together, and that works going perfectly for Wallace, and he really needs that, so I'm going to pull him here. And then when he gets there, and he's going to see it, then I can grow him in the position, and I'm working these people over here, they're going to come here, and they'll be just ready for him, and when he comes up, and he'll just fall into this, like falling off a chair. But he's moving. As soon as we get him to pray, he's moving. He's moving heaven and earth. He's moving and put it in line. what happens if we quit early? I'm tired of this nonsense. I don't like my boss. I don't like my neighbors. You know, if he loved me, I wouldn't have to work for this, you know, guy. But no, yeah, you do. If you can't learn how to deal with him, you will never be in a position where you can deal with any difficult situation. He's God sent you. I sent him. I sent that heartache to you. I sent that so that you'll be ready to do what you asked for. And I want you to bear fruit. And God's going to be glorified and everybody will see you're my disciple. That's what it says. The timing, a lot of times the timing is for God to just get everything in place. You know, he said, hey, you know, like we put it, something, say, I want to move to Florida. Okay, you go home, say, pack up the clothes, we're leaving in the morning. You know, so, well, God would go, you need to work, unless I get to sell the house, and we'll take over here, and we'll buy you a house, and then we'll get over here, we'll get a loading truck and stuff, and we'll get it loaded up, and then we'll drive it down there, and we'll get you moved in there. And by the way, I hope you wanted a job while you were down there. You know, we'll get that fixed. That doesn't happen the next day. But you have to do all those things to do it. And God goes, okay, I heard you. I'm doing it. We're moving. Right now, I am moving. I'm moving heaven and earth. I'm moving all the angels because you're special to me. And I'm going to take you right where I want you to be. God, how did I end there? You asked me. You prayed for it. Probably been a while you hadn't thought about it. But you asked for it. You all with me? That's what this is saying. John 14:14. It says anything. I want to say whatever again. You ask me anything. You ask me anything. I will do it. Anything in my name, I will do it. Now, let me wrap it up here. I'm going to wrap this up here. Summary. And by the way, I'm laughing to myself. You know, I say something a little catty in here, and, you know, I shouldn't say it. But I don't want any of you coming up here and ask me to explain this to you. I'm not going to talk to you. I'm not talking to you, you know. You're going to come and explain. I'm going to say, I don't have a clue. God's speaking to you. You figure it out. You got the word. You read it. You figure it out, okay? I'm not going to help you in this. Because I'm having enough problem figuring it out for me. You know, it's just, don't confuse me right now. So anyway, you talk to your neighbor, but you say, pastor doesn't want to talk to you on this. Now, so I'm going to end it with this. I'm going to end it with this, a summary. In this session, three times, Jesus makes the same promise. Three times. There's when God destroys Babylon, and it says, and I can't remember the exact words, but he sees the writing on the wall, and he says it three times. And so they say, Daniel, what's he saying? So Daniel comes up and tells him, and they say it three times. And Daniel says, the reason they said it three times, because it's assured to happen. God wants you to know it's assured to happen. Right here, God said it three times, and it shall be. It's assured to happen. Whatever you ask in my name, I will do it. I will do it. So three times, this is what he says. Number one, ask me anything, and I will do it. Number two, whatever you ask, it will be done for you. Number three, whatever you ask, he will give it to you. Well, let's have a Bible study and try to figure out what God wants to do. And I already told you, so let's go ask Pastor what God wants to do. Don't do that. You take this home and figure out what God's telling you. All right? But he said it three times. Three times. And I bet if God was speaking to you right now, he would tell you, say, don't go ask Wallace. Just don't. Just take it and go with it. Now, so we have this. Now, the Apostle Paul understood this. As close as anybody in the world to understand this. The Apostle Paul understood this dynamic. And he gives this encouragement. So he knows this, but it's not like Paul doesn't know this information. Therefore, he says something to us. And this is to us, it's to me, it's to you. This is what the Apostle Paul, taking all this information, the Apostle Paul says in Colossians 4:2, devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful. Devote yourself to prayer, being watchful, because stuff's happening. I'll do anything you ask. Watch, because stuff's happening. Amen? And be thankful. Gosh, you just gave me a new job with this absolutely ogre of a boss. Be watchful and thankful, because that's the step for him to take you to the blessing he has prepared for you. But he has to refine you a little bit to get to that point. But he hurts you, and he's moving you there. So, there's only one way to forgiveness, and there's only one way to the promises of God. John 14:6, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me. And he said that in the same chapter. See, you can't pick and choose what you believe. You believe the whole chapter, you don't believe any of the chapter. Same chapter. I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Dear Heavenly Father, there's no doubt we are in awe of what you said. And it's no doubt that we all are challenged by what you said. But Lord, as we back up, we look and it's amazing. And the first thing I think we all should look at, it's amazing how much you love us. You love us more than we can comprehend. You love us more than we can even grasp. And he said, it's almost like he was saying, just love me back. Just love me back. Just spend time with me. And I will do whatever you ask, because I want God to be glorified, and I want to prove to the whole world you're my disciples. I want to prove to the whole world, you're my disciples. Love me. Ask whatever. Ask whatever. And I will do it. We give thanks to you, dear Jesus. We give thanks to you, dear Heavenly Father. And we give you praise in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.